So why don't you start, tell us about your first, like, romantic experience, your first physical experience, first experiences.
Okay. The first one that happened was when I went to Richmond. I had gone to Richmond from Roanoke. I'd been in Roanoke visiting, and I went to Richmond a different way. I used to go up 81 and 64, and I went up 360, one of those. I think the 460 turns into 360 once you get to Richmond. Anyway, it popped me out over next to that Carillion, or that Carillon monument, the World War II monument. And I pulled up, and I walked the length of this field toward the monument. And when I got there, this guy on a bicycle rode by me and immediately did a full circle and came back and parked his bike. And I went up the steps around the back of the monument, and he went around the back of the monument, and we got in this little area. And, well, things happened. And I was so shocked that that night I was supposed to go to work at 11, and this happened around 9:30 or so. And I went home, I fell down on the bed, and I just said, "What happened?" And I wasn't ashamed of it. I was shocked and happy, but I wound up being a half hour late to work. The very next week, I went back to this park and this monument area and met this guy, and we just started talking. And I said, I get nervous, so I wanted some water. And he said, "There's a fountain right over there, but there's a trick to it." So he takes me over to the fountain, pushes the thing in with his foot, and the water came up like a little trickle, and he put his finger on it a certain way, and it shot up about a foot, and I was able to drink. And I thought that was kind of romantic that it let me have some water and did that for me. I wound up going home with him, and we did some things I'd never done. He didn't know it was my first time, and he turned NPR radio on, and at night they do the space music thing. And I just lay there all night, again, kind of in awe of what is going on, what am I doing, and not so much in I shouldn't be doing it, but that I was 26 or 27 years old, and these are things I had been missing out on in my life because I was shy. I didn't approach people. People didn't approach me because I don't look gay most of the time. And the guy went on to sleep. I stayed awake all night listening to music, and then he got up and went to work, and then I left. The only odd thing about that was I wore a necklace that had my senior key on it, our little I guess our logo or whatever for our school. And I had to go back to his house a week later and ask him where my necklace was because I'd left it on his dresser. Anyway, I got that. And we were friends for a while. And the cop that I mentioned, the cop and the security guard guy that I met, I talked to him about it because I said, "What can I do about this?" And I wound up going to a phone that wasn't at my house. It was actually at Toys R Us, and called the Richmond police. And I said, "My friend is a cop for another county, and he said he kills people, and I'm worried that he's going to kill my friend." They said, "Well, we'll come by and see you and drop off some things so that you can record some phone calls, because he called me all the time and we talk about this stuff, and we'll get some tapes on him." So they brought the tapes, and I think I'm getting off the question in a second, but this is a part of the deal here. So it involved the significant other and the cop, and then the same people where he broke the door into my house that I spoke about earlier. So the cops came. We had a phone, a huge phone with a receiver that you pick up, and it had a round part for your ear, a round part for your mouth, and they put this round ring on the mouthpiece and a wire going to a tape recorder, a cassette recorder. And when he called, I cut it on, and we talked sometimes for an hour, and he would tell me all the things he had done. At one point, he had worked at King's Dominion off-duty, well, kind of as a overtime police position. And a cute guy had come into the office and wanted some hot chocolate. Well, he supposedly put some kind of powder in the hot chocolate, Drano or whatever, and then he sat down with the guy while he drank the hot chocolate and enjoyed it when the guy's nose started bleeding and stuff, and they had to call the ambulance for the guy because he was just a sadistic creep and freak. So that's why I went and had the Richmond police look into him. They brought me the items to record him. I recorded about 10 or 15 hours of tape, and then nothing. They didn't follow up with me. They didn't do anything. And so I told my, the guy I was, I guess I was in love with him. I told my guy about the crazy cop and don't be alone with him. He wants to kill you. He puts people in plots at his mom's farm. I said, do not go anywhere unless it's a restaurant. Well, the guy promised the guy, the cop promised the guy pot or whatever, and he went out with him. I came home from my job from courier from Richmond to Winchester one night, and both of them were sitting on my step outside. And he said, my friend said, hey, Roger. He said, I told him you were playing Starsky and Hutch with him, and I told him about the cops. And so I almost went through the floor because I said, this could kill me. He said, we need to talk. You've betrayed me, and we need to go somewhere and talk. I said, you stay out here and let me go change, and we'll go to a restaurant. I said, I don't trust you in private. So I changed my clothes, and we went to the mall to a restaurant and talked. And he said, why did you turn me into the police? I said, because you were going to kill my friend, and anybody that hurts someone that I love or care about aren't going to get away with it. So he said, well, I want all the tapes, and I want the machine, and I want everything you have that they gave you. So I gave them to them, and the police, I caught them for more tapes at one point. They never did come back and bring me any more tapes prior to that. I never heard from them to say, why, where's the equipment? We came to get the equipment. It's almost like he took it back to them. He was almost beyond reproach, I guess, because of who he knew and the fact that he was a cop, because the detectives never came back and asked me anything about it. Over the years, I moved back to Roanoke because of him breaking into the door that day, and I moved back to Roanoke. My friend came to visit a couple of times, and I touched base with him a couple of years ago. He was going from Connecticut down to see his father, I believe, in Florida, and he passed through, and I met him at the bus station just to say hi, and he was still alive. So if anything else, maybe I brought so much attention to the fact that this supposedly nobody who was a hustler would have been noticed if he was killed, and that may have saved his life, hopefully. So that was just one other thing. Going toward your first question, I mean, your original question about my sexual experiences, the scariest one I was with, besides this crazy cop guy, I met him on Craigslist. And he worked at a school, and he was a janitor or whatever, and I met him around 7 or 8 o'clock at night. We went into the boiler room, and the room was completely empty. There was a shelf on the side, and the only thing on the shelf was a screwdriver. And then he said, can I tie this little frilly thing around your eyes and kind of blindfold you and tie your hands behind your back? He said, I kind of enjoy that. I said, okay. Well, when he tied my hands, I could get loose. It wasn't really, you know, like really, really tight. And then he put the thing around my eyes. But then when he put the thing around my eyes, the last thing I saw was that screwdriver on the table with no other tools and nothing else really in the room. So I'm sitting there, and he's making noises and movement and everything, but he's not touching me. And I'm thinking, is he going to take this screwdriver and ram it somewhere? And so after like 5 or 10 minutes of my brain going crazy, I lifted up the little cloth he had around my eyes. And he did not have the screwdriver, thank goodness, but he was wearing a teddy. So I think he was embarrassed that he was in women's clothing, and that's how he wanted the whole thing to go about. But I was afraid of the screwdriver, and I got freaked out, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I said, but it has nothing to do with you being in a teddy. Anyway, that was the weirdest thing. Well, I guess there's several weird things, but that was another one of them.
Could you explain what a teddy is?
Well, it's a little frilly, almost see-through, lacy thing that women wear to entice their husbands sexually, I guess. Being gay, I don't know. I guess that's what it is.
Definitely. Earlier, you said something about looking gay. Could you explain what looking gay was back then, like what that entailed?
Well, some folks have a voice that's rather gay. Mine's kind of deep. If I would wear ties to work and go to Kmart. They asked me, did I work there? I had a mustache back then. My hair was a little darker. Most people thought I was a cop. So I just didn't look the part of a gay person. And again, I don't know what that is. These days, it's a little more rainbow. I have a rainbow tattoo now, so depending on what kind of shirt I wear, that's exposed, so you know I don't hide it. But it's just an overall look, a little feminine, a little prancy or
the term they used back in the day was flaming, and you could just tell folks were certain folks were gay. Again, some couldn't hide it, some didn't want to hide it, and a lot of times because they couldn't hide it or wouldn't hide it, that's what got them beat up or bullied in school and in public.
Was there any like specific clothing that you would delegate as looking gay back then?
Very short shorts. Tank tops and shorts on older guys. That was the main thing. Sometimes they would do bandanas. In fact, back when I was first learning about things in the 60s and 70s, there was a culture of bandanas, or they called them handkerchiefs. If you put them on one side of your pocket, it meant one thing, and you put them on the right side of your back pocket, it meant another thing. Colors meant different things, what you were into, what you did. It was... that kind of faded away over the years because I don't know if folks just didn't want to advertise or whatever, but those were prevalent in the bars really before I started going to the bars. But it was heavily into the porn that I used to watch back then and in the books that I would read. It was kind of like the secret message in case the gaydar would work, but that was letting the person know what you wanted to do. And that way you wouldn't wind up getting together and not be compatible in the bed or have to, you know, waste your night being with one guy thinking you were going to get one thing and he was into something else. So I kind of wish that that would come back because that was, it's kind of like saying, hi, I'm gay, I like to do blah, 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 instead of having to waste time and money and a night with a guy that's not going to do the blah, blah, blah.
Definitely, definitely. So you were talking about identifiers earlier, like the bandanas and stuff like that. Do you remember any like specific ones? Any specific?
Like what the colors meant?
Yeah.
Well, initially I thought it was just three or four, but it wound up being like 25. Wow. They had the solid colors. They had, I don't know if they had multiple color bandanas back then, but it was mostly where you put them. You put them in your back pocket if you were a receiver of sexual things, in the left pocket if you were a giver of sexual things, and I may have those reversed. I think you could put them in front pockets for certain other things, and we have discussions at the Diversity Center today. We don't put labels on ourselves because most folks don't like a label, but we kind of have to label ourselves in order for other folks to know. Well, I like to know if someone is gay or not because I'm not going to waste time trying to see if they want to date me if they're straight or if they're pansexual, who are folks that go after or are attracted by people's personalities and other things about them besides their looks. There's panromantic, pansexual, gender fluid. There's just all kinds of things now. So instead of us being men and women that have sex with men having men and girls and women having women or whatever, we're just human beings and sexual beings, and we have sex with whoever attracts us, and that's, I think, why people are trying to get away from the labels. I saw just the other day on a website there's some dog tags you can get, and there's one for gay, transgender, gender fluid, this, that, and the other, and you can combine them, put two on one thing, and that kind of gives a signal once folks get to know what these things mean and let folks know. It's kind of like the hanky situation, only it's in necklace form. And you just wear those to be yourselves and identify, make your sexual identity a more obvious thing.
Okay, so you can talk about from the past or the present. What kind of, like, gay lingo? Is there any kind of gay lingo that you have used, have been, like, exposed to in any?
Well, yes. You notice it a lot on the gay sites now. They want to know if you're circumcised or not circumcised, and they just shorten it to cut and uncut, which is kind of gross. But anyway, those are some of the things that come to mind right off. None are really flooding my brain at this second, but I think the question was kind of a shock. So, but that's, I guess, it for this moment, unless something comes to me in a moment or two.
Definitely. So we're going to change a little bit going. Oh.